Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
We bless God for today. And we give God all the glory for another wonderful Sunday. It's been a while. And we thank God for such a wonderful time in His presence yesterday. As our tradition is, we're going to take our theme scripture for today. So, Hebrews chapter 6, the verse 1 and 3. Hebrews chapter 6, the verse 1 and 3. We'll be reading in the New Living Translation version. So, let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instructions about baptisms, the laying of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Hallelujah. The beginning of this year, we started with the team establishing apostolic governance and dominion on what? Solid foundation. And we started with our exposure on the concept of foundation. We started that the foundation of the believer is established on three key things. Number one, help me. What is the first one? Yes, church. Can I get a microphone? Yeah, help. We have only one microphone here. Please, yes, give it to Lord. Okay, Peter. What are the three? Give me one of the main ingredients of our foundation. They are not referring to their notes. Wow. So we know that one of the ingredients is what? Belief. The belief system of the believer. The second one is what? And then the third one is what? We started with an introduction to the belief system. And we found out what the concept of belief is and the opposite of belief. If you're not walking in belief, what exactly you're working on? And we also came into the introduction to the value system. We looked into what is the value. We found out that the organ that is responsible for the value system of the believer is what? The heart. And we found out that in our salvation package, there are three key things that God changed to make us new creatures. One is what? The heart. The second one is what? The spirit. And the third one is what? The mind. So the Bible says we have the mind of what? Christ. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, the Bible said that let this mind of Christ be in you. So we decided to now take each of these ingredients one by one to examine them into details, what is required in terms of knowledge to work on. We started with the belief system. And we said that when it comes to the belief system of the believer, the first most important thing is the believer knowing the essential doctrines of the faith. So we examine the essential doctrines of the faith. We say that these are the doctrines that secure the believer salvation. In other words, if you don't believe in any of the five essential doctrines that we have examined, you are not a Christian. We can't call you a brother or a sister in the kingdom. And I hope you know them. We looked at the virgin birth of what? Christ. He born as a what? Man. His death, burial, and what? He being what? God. And then the second coming of what? If you don't believe any of these five things, you are not born again. Because your salvation is this. And we said that these five things is very important because this is what authenticates the Jesus we believe. Because there are a lot of Jesuses in the world. Other religions have a certain Jesus in their practice or religion. But what authenticates the Jesus we believe as the true Son of God is these five key doctrines. That's why it's called essential. So without these five doctrines, you are not born again. Now we have done that which has secured our salvation. Today we are going to start with another series which I know it is practically going to take us a year. Yeah. The basic doctrines of the faith. And this is our new series. Now we have secured our salvation. We are moving into the next phase of our Christian life. Now, I want you to pay a critical attention to what we're going to do, because what you become as a Christian, I can boldly tell you that this very series is going to be a determinant of your maturity in Christianity. And I pray for grace to be able to present this in its simplest form, that each and everyone over here can have the full understanding of the basic doctrines of the faith. Because the outcome of your Christian maturity relies on this very series we are going to be establishing ourselves from. So can we take a word of prayer as we start with the introduction to the basic doctrines of the faith? Can we pray? Father, we thank you. Bless you for such a Sunday. And bless you for giving us the grace to gather before you. Father, we pray for strength. We pray for understanding. Lord, I bring myself before you, that Lord, you give me grace, the ability to communicate the truth, so that your people will be edified, exalted, built without any lack in their Christian growth. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we go back to our anchor scripture? In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about what? Christ, again and not. So the basic teachings about Christ is talking about the basic doctrines of what? The faith. Now, this very statement was what gave us the courses required for somebody to pass on from the basic elementaries about Christ into maturity. Until this chapter, or until we got to this chapter in the book of Hebrews, we didn't know the course outline or the course content of what qualifies somebody to, or some that we can do to somebody to graduate the person into maturity. So for us to appreciate this very chapter, we need to have an overview of the book of the book of Hebrew, to understand why the author of the book of Hebrew made such profound statement in the middle of his teachings in the book of Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews is a book that we are still yet to agree on the authorship, because some believe that the book was written by Apostle Paul, others believe it was written by Timothy. Whoever wrote it, it is the word of God. Amen. So it has nothing to do with what we want to do today. Now, the book of Hebrew is a book that was written to Jewish converts. Jewish converts. When the work of Christianity began, it started among the Jews in Jerusalem. Remember the 3,000 souls that gave themselves to Christ? It was a Jewish community. And these were people who accepted Christianity. So the author was addressing this very book unto them. I'm going to give you a general scope of the book of Hebrews, so that you can make time to go and study it yourself. Now, the whole book of Hebrews is a comparison book between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, or the Old Testament and the New Testament. When we say Testament, it's the same as Covenant, apam, in the Chi language. Now, the writer of the book of Hebrew was trying to draw the line between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And anytime we are doing comparison, what are we reaching out? We are trying to show out that one is superior, or one is a better option than the other, right? So that is the essence of comparing things. So if I start comparing things, what I'm trying to do is I want to establish the fact that at the end of the day, you will agree that one of these things is what? Better or greater, or of better essence to the other. Hallelujah. Now, the writer of the book of Hebrews was trying to bring to the knowledge of the Jewish Christian the superiority of the new covenant, which was brought out as a result of Christ, over the old covenant. And the reason why he was doing that is because of the tradition and the culture of the people. These Jewish Christians were not Gentiles who had no knowledge about God. They know God. In fact, they have walked in the laws of Moses, and they have been told that the laws of Moses is of God. It's true. Jesus never disproved that what Moses gave them was not of God. It was of God. So why do we need to accept another covenant or accept another pattern of life if God has already given us one? So it was a time that we have to draw the line. Why the Old Testament or the Old Covenant is outdated, and that they have to hold on to this new covenant. So the cultural background of these people was affecting the practice of the new covenant. If you're a student of the book of Acts, you'll find out there was a time that even Peter has to explain to the church leaders why he went to the house of Cornelius. Paul came to the city of Jerusalem with Timothy, and because Timothy would not be looked down upon, he needed to circumcise Timothy. Because the Jewish culture believed that circumcision is a requirement to salvation. Are you following? So there were many things that in the early time of the Christian belief that they were trying to pick out from the old covenant and adapt it to the new covenant. But Apostle Paul wants to draw the clear difference between it to the Jewish community that no, this is an outmoded, outdated. We are no more living by the standard of those covenants. So we need to move on to the better covenant we have held on, and the ingredient or the content of which it is what? Being presented unto us. Now, how did the author of the book of Hebrews did this comparison? He did this comparison on the three key anchors of covenant. Now, I want to give it to you. Number one, the first anchor is the altar or the portal through which the covenant came. The altar of the covenant. Number two, the enforcing agent of the covenant. And number three, the administrator of the covenant. If you look through scriptures, every covenant that God made with man has three key anchors. Number one, the person through which God released the covenant. Number two, the enforcing agent of that covenant. And number three, the administrator of the covenant. So these three key anchors was what the whole book of Hebrews stood upon. And the writer was comparing Jesus with the anchors of what? The old covenant, and why Jesus' testament or covenant was of better essence. I hope you are following. We are trying to come to how we ended in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. So I'm taking you through the journey. So, number one, the author started with the presentation that the one who bought or the one who gave birth to the old covenant was Moses. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. And this one, we're not going to read it. Hebrews 3, verse 1 to 5. We don't need to read it. If you are a student of the Bible, you know that we always ascribe the law to whom? Moses. So the author of the covenant was what? Moses. Number two, the enforcing agent of the old covenant, the enforcing agency of the old covenant was the angels. I want us to read this one so that I don't say pastor was the one who said it. Let's read it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. You can give me any verse. I have no problem with that. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. So the old covenant was born or was through Moses, but those who are the enforcing agent, the spirit behind it, the people who were making sure that the covenant came to pass, were angels. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of the world. Continue. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, if we read from the chapter 1, you find out that this statement he was trying to make was in reference to the law. That the law was being enforced because of the angelic company around it. So, the Moses law was under the supervision of angels. So, that's the enforcing agent. Number three, the administrators of the covenant. The administrators of the covenant were the people called the priests. after the genealogy of Aaron. So the priesthood of Aaron and his genealogy were those who were administrating the covenant. What I mean administrating means that they were the ones making sure that the day-to-day activities of the people of Israel was in line with the covenant of God. Are you following? I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. So the administrator of the covenant were those who make sure that the things that the people of Israel were doing day to day are in line with the covenant that they had with God. So look at these three powerful people or three anchors. It will be a difficult job for the author of the book of Hebrews to prove that Jesus' covenant is better off, because this is a covenant received by one of the most highly profound men. The Bible said there is no any prophet as meek as Moses ever to live. Moses was a highly noble, respected man. And Jesus himself admitted that Moses is a highly noble person. And they believe in angelic ministration. And they believe in priesthood. So how do you then prove to these people that these three anchors that hold the old covenant is obsolete? It's going to be a difficult task. True of us. And the most difficult aspect is that it has been their tradition for many years. So now, looking at the pedigree of the people or the circumstances that surround the old covenant, the author had a lot of work to do to convince his readers about the better covenant through Jesus with comparison to the old covenant. Now, so in Hebrews chapter 1, all the way to chapter 2, the author started comparing Jesus with angels. And the author proved to them that Jesus was of higher pedigree to angels. Give me Hebrews chapter 1. Let's start and see and see the weight of what the author started with. Hebrews chapter 1. Because of time factor, I wish I could take you through a whole lot, but I'm not teaching the whole book of Hebrews. I'll rush. I hope you are following. We are looking at how come he started with Hebrews chapter 6. Because the Hebrews chapter 6 was actually not in line with the entire thing he was doing. I hope if you are following right now, you see that Hebrews chapter 6 does not really make sense if you are doing comparison, right? So why would the author introduce that comment or introduce that topic, teachings at chapter 6? God, who has sundry times in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by us, the prophets. Continue. In this last day has us spoken to us by us, his us, son, who he has appointed us, heir over all things, and through whom he made the universe. Then he started comparing him to angels. In the verse 14 of the chapter 1, he specified why God even created angels. So for angels were created to be what? Ministers unto those who be the heir of our salvation. So the job of angels is that they serve us who are heirs of salvation. So how can they be of more, or what can a covenant of angels who are meant to serve us be greater than that of the covenant of Jesus? So the speaker in Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2 disproved the fact that Jesus is a better option. He proved the fact that Jesus is a better option than that of what? The angels. So Jesus has, as he being the one who enforces the covenant. We know that he's the one who enforces our covenant. Jesus, the will, the New Testament, we have the enforcing agent is Jesus himself. Then in chapter 3, he started with Moses. He started comparing Jesus to Moses. If you read the chapter 3 verse 5, he said that Moses was the house, but Jesus was the owner of what? The house. In other words, Jesus created Moses. So there's no way a creator can be greater, a creation can be greater than not the creator. So whatever came out of Moses was a good thing. Moses lived a faithful life. Moses did exactly what God wanted him to do. But the truth of the matter is that Moses is of lesser rank because Jesus is the Son of God. And in the comparison with angels, he made a statement that among which of the angels did God say unto you, you are my beloved son, for today I have begotten thee. None of them. So he was able to disprove the valuation that the Jewish people were trying to let the Jewish Christians to know that whatever they have accepted, it doesn't hold water. You are following a wrong faith. You are forsaking the practice of the fathers. This is what our fathers secured for us. But the writer was trying to prove to them that whatever was secured for us by our fathers was just a preparatory for the better covenant. And in the matter of comparison, the anchors of those old covenants is nowhere compared to the one who holds this new covenant. Then in chapter 4, he started talking about the aspect of the priesthood. I told you there are three anchors, right? So I've dealt with the first two. So in chapter 4, he started talking about the priesthood. Now we have a higher priest who even knows our infirmity. And in the ending part of chapter 4, he said, therefore we can come boldly to the throne room of grace because we have a priest. Then in chapter 5, he told us the kind of priest he is. He said he is the king priest. So now he has been able to deal with a comparison with that of the enforcing agency and Jesus, the author of the old covenant and Jesus. Now we are looking at the aspect of priesthood. So all the way from the chapter 4 to the chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews was on the teachings of priesthood. In the light of this teaching, in the chapter 5 of the verse 11, the author made a very remarkable statement. Can you project that one for me? Then you understand why we had the chapter 6. So before the writer continued with the detailed comparison of the ministry of Jesus as a priest to that of the priesthood after the genealogy of Aaron, he contrasted himself in chapter 5 verse 11. That, no, give me the, I gave you a good thing. I like the Passion Translation. Now follow. Whilst he was on the teachings about the priesthood of Jesus with that of the priesthood after the Aaron's genealogy, he said that, listen what he said. We have much to say about this topic. You know the topic talking about priesthood. Although it is difficult to explain, because you have become too dull and sluggish to understand. So the writer got to a point and realized, this topic I want to deal with, my students are dull and sluggish. So this is going to be a very difficult topic. Though he has much to say about it. In fact, he said much about it. If you read the chapter 6, downwards, chapter 7, all the way to chapter 10, he spoke a lot about priesthood. For you should already be what? Now he's addressing his readers, the students, the Jewish church. Listen to it. So for you should already be what? Professors, not lecturers. Professors. Instructing others by now. But instead, you need to be taught from the beginning the basics of God's prophetic oracle. Other verses said God's prophetic word. He was expecting the church of the Jewish community to, by this time, be instructors of other people in the word of God. But it's quite unfortunate that they are still in need of instruction. Let's continue. He made a very sad comment. Said, you are like what? Children. Still needing what? Milk. Not yet ready to digest what we need. For every spiritual infant who lives on milk is not yet pierced by the revelation of what? Righteousness. If you read the other verses in NLT, he said that such person doesn't know how to do the right thing. Any believer living on milk doesn't know how to do the right thing. But solid food is for the mature. So you know the solid food is talking about here? Priesthood. And I'll tell you, see, when we are done with the basic doctrine, at least Paul has given us an idea of one of the matured courses we need to examine. And one of the courses we are going to examine in our class of maturity is priesthood. And after studying this concept, I came to understand when Peter said we are a royal priesthood. We have really used that terminology in a lighter weight. Because priesthood was a course for a mature student. Now listen to you. But solitude is for the mature whose spiritual senses perceive what? Heavenly matters. Continue. And they have been adequately what? Trained by what they have what? Experienced. It meant with understanding of what? The difference between what? Truly what? Excellent and not. What is what? Evil and then what? If you read the King James Version, give me the King James Version or any other version of the verse 14 and listen to what he said about mature Christians. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been what? Trained to distinguish what? Good and not. So who is a baby Christian? A baby Christian is the one that cannot distinguish between what? Good and evil. So in the words of Apostle Joseph, they said that God first of all trained you to know good from evil, and then he trains you to know what? Good from God. So the writer of the book of Hebrews wanted to teach them about priesthood in line with the covenant. In line with the covenant and in comparison to the priesthood of Aaron. But when the writer got here, he found out that the class course for priesthood is not for infant babies. Then he went to chapter 6 and then he told us what is exactly the courses, which is the milk we have been living on. And I bet you, if the writer of the book of Hebrews was in our generation, I don't know what comment you pass about. Because when you examine the chapter 6, verse 1, let's go. Look at the course outline that he called milk. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on his head and become what? Mature in all. So you don't need to start again with the importance and the importance of what? Repenting from what? So repentance from what? Dead works. Faith in God. Let's continue. Baptism, laying of hands, resurrection of the dead, and not eternal. These are the causes that the writer of the book of Hebrews is calling basics. He said that anybody who has not gone through these causes will lack the skills and experience to differentiate between good and evil. My question here to you is that how many of us have been skilled in these above courses? That is why I said in the beginning that this course we are going to do, this series, is very important. I don't want you to miss it or miss any of these episodes, because what you become as a Christian in the near future is based on how well you took this course. Just as BEC has determined the future of most of you. So will this course also determine your level of maturity. So now, what is the basic doctrine of the faith? This is why he made that statement. I hope you understand the introduction, what I've done. So we need to grasp this understanding before we can deal with priesthood. And if you are not able to be taught priesthood, you are in trouble. So it's not everything that you can teach. The desired definition for the word basic is number one, necessary. The word basic also means what? Necessary. Number two, essential for life or some processes. Anything that is basic is essential for what? Life or some processes. It means that if you want to do a particular thing, the thing that you need most fundamentally is what we call the basics. Even the constitution of Ghana, a parent can be sued or can go to prison for refusing to allow the child to go to basic school. That is why in the constitution of a country, basic education is what? Free. Because it's essential to life. Another word that can be used for basic is elementary. So how many of you have gone to elementary school? You have all gone to elementary school, right? Okay. We have fundamental and merely functional as part of the words that defines basic. I hope you are following the presentation. So the writer wanted to is on the still on the purpose of the covenant of the new believers covenant. What we believe, the covenant we hold on to. What our rights, responsibility, and everything is ensured or enshrined has three anchors: the altar, the enforcing agent, and the priesthood. But for us to be able to appreciate the priesthood aspect of the covenant, we need to first of all graduate from the class of what? Basics. Because that lesson is not for what? People cannot have, people lack skills. Who lack skills? So my job here is to give you the net, train you. See, we will be on the basis until I see that you have gotten the skills. Said, for an infant in the kingdom is somebody who lacks skills. The Bible said he's not pierced by God, the light or the revelation of righteousness. Another version said that he lacks his own skill in righteousness. Right living. So, first of all, we are talking about basic. So, what is basic? So, the basic is the state of the believer. Let me tell you something. Basic or the foundation or the elementary of the believer is not wrong, but it becomes a problem when it is expected of you to graduate from that level. You're still there. The basis of the believer is the stage where the believer is administered milk. Now, if you really, the reason is that it is that state that gives the believer the skills to differentiate between right and wrong so that he can build on the right. Now, if you really want to understand what is the really picture, the real picture of people who are in the basic schools of the kingdom, Apostle Paul gave us certain clarity in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. And you see the kind of even things that were taught basis. I'm going to prove to you that giftings is not a sign of maturity in the kingdom. Follow me. Are you with me? So we are looking at basics, right? I said basics is not a wrong thing in the kingdom. But when it is expected of you to move on from that level, so it's just like a baby. So, and the concept is milk. Milk is an essential nutrient for a baby. For the first 6 months of a baby's life, milk, breast milk, is very important. But after 1 year and 2 years, it becomes irrelevant. So if a child after 3 years is still on breast milk, it's a problem. So I'm not disproving the fact that you don't need babies. Some of you need it. Some of you have outgrown it. To me, honestly, to me, anybody who is born again for more than 2 years shouldn't be living on basics. According to Jesus' pattern of training, how many years did he train apostles? Timothy worked with Paul for 2 years and he was already a graduate, being sent on errands. To me, from the patterns of Jesus' training, nobody born again after 2 years should still live on basics. You are perfect. So if we find out that you are skilled in righteousness, then the question is that your lecturer didn't do a good job, or you, the student, have decided not to graduate from that class. And in the kingdom of God, repetition is allowed. God doesn't care. You repeat it till you get it. The reason why many believers are not able to enter into dimensions of God is because instead of them graduating from basics, they are still there. Let's read what Paul said about the student of basic school. Brothers and sisters, When I was with you, I found it impossible to speak to you as those who are spiritually mature people. Are you with me? Read with me. Oh. For you are still dominated by the mindset of what? First character of basic students. Their mindset, though they have received the mind of Christ, their mindset is fully dominated by the dictates of the flesh. To help you to know the dictates of the flesh, give me Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. To know people who are not matured, babe, those who are in basic schools in the kingdom, you see their ways, mindset of the flesh. Then we'll come back to this version. Okay, we'll come back to this verse. Now the words of the flesh are out. So he said, those who are not mature Christians, their mindset is dominated by what? The dictates of what? The flesh. So now in Galatians, he said that these are the manifestations of what? The dictates of the flesh. Number one, they are out. Adults, fornication, uncleanness. They are not. You don't want to pronounce it. You pronounce it. Continue verse 20. Now, when we talk of idols, I've already spoken about it in the text here. Now, when we talk of idols, it's not only the images that we have, but anything that comes first before God, and we can't put it aside. For God is an idol. Witchcraft. Is not the only one, the one who only eats human meat. In fact, in scripture definition of witchcraft is what we call manipulation. The spirit of this God. The ability to manipulate people is witchcraft. African witchcraft is different from the biblical witchcraft. It is a sub of that. But when talking about witchcraft from biblical, the symbolism of witchcraft is Jezebel, the manipulator. What else? Hatred, variant. The ones that I said you should pronounce it. The next one is what? Continue. So anything that have the likeness of the mindset of the flesh. Paul said, students who are still in the basic school of the kingdom, this is the kind of mindset that controls them. So I wonder the kind of course we will be doing today's generation. Because we are even doing below basics. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And because you are immature infants in Christ, I have to nurse you and feed you with what? So it is the milk that gives this basic student the necessary experience and skills to be able to deal with the dominance of the mindset of the flesh. So anybody you see that is expressing the things of the flesh, one of the critical needs of the person is milk. And if the person is not fed well with milk and raised well on milk, there is no way that person will graduate. So most of the times, what the believers are doing is just a sheer explanation of the kind of administration of the milk that was given them. So you see a believer so much with the things of the flesh, he loves the things that the world is doing. Don't blame that believer. Ask yourself, has that believer been skilled in the milk? Because the only way that believer can come out of this is when the believer is skilled in the milk of the word. I pray for you that in the course of this journey, you will receive the experiences of the Spirit. I'm going to talk about this, but it is in the heat of this that Apostle Peter said that as newborn babes, sincerely, not hypocritically, he said, be sincere in your desire of the milk of the word, and thereby you will grow. It is my prayer that you have a sincere heart in the course of this journey, and your desire will grow day by day. That even if you are outdated yourself in the class of basic and still showing for the things of the basic, God will help you. That you will grow in skills. That nobody will tell you what is right and wrong again. It is in the heat of this apple. Apostle Peter said that. And with salt, I have connection with what? Milk. Not with solid food or more advanced what? Teaching. Because you weren't ready for it. In fact, you are still not. So the whole book of 1 Corinthians is a milk book. You must be wrong. But it's in the book of 1 Corinthians that we spoke about the gift of the Spirit. So can you imagine that in the basic school we learn about the gifts of the Spirit? Gift of faith. Gift of prophecy. Word of knowledge. So please don't judge maturity by word of knowledge. If I call you and I mention your telephone number, doesn't mean I'm mature. No. No. The whole book that exposed that topic is a milk book. Basic course in the kingdom. That is why we are being taught by people who are not skilled. How can you let a baby who doesn't know right from wrong lead you? So you follow people because they are gifted. They are anointed. No. Paul said the whole book of 1 Corinthians was milk. Because the church of Corinth were not ready for solid food. And in that book, he treated gifts of the Spirit. Powerful things. Spoke about marriage. Spoke about many things. And you find out that as we examine the causes of the basic doctrines, you see that most of the things we will be picking will come from Corinthians. Baptism, laying of hands, all this. Yes, in our generation, we are highly esteemed, gifted people. When somebody can see one, two, or three, he thinks or she thinks that he's mature to handle the things of the Spirit. But the Bible is saying that teaching those kind of things are forbidden. How many of us here are feeling so full of ourselves because we can prophesy? I made this statement once a time that we were very powerful until we made that joke. And found out that we didn't know anything. And from that, we start learning our lessons. I didn't start prophesying in... No. This is my very close friend from SS. They know me as a prophet way back, SS2. If I tell the kind of encounters I used to have in SS, you'll be shocked. So we thought we were there. Until we came across our Father in the Lord. And he found out that we are in class 01. I knew nothing about studies of the Bible. I've never even read one Christian literature book before. Can you imagine I could prophesy? Sitting, you have not even come close to reading the Bible, studying the Bible. The problem of the church today is because we have esteemed milk class students as people who are eating solid food. That is why they can't teach priesthood. Because priesthood is not what I can see. And the time we start the school of priesthood, you will find out that we are dealing with things of legalities. You will see that there are patterns in the kingdom to repeat things. If I tell the kind of encounters I'm receiving of late, I'm scared. Sometimes I have to. Because when God started opening my eyes deeper into the things of priesthood, I said, wow. The priest in the Old Testament knew how to make everyday sacrifice for atonement. They don't need to refer to manual. They could repeat the pattern every day. Any miracle, any dimensions of the kingdom that can be sustained requires priesthood. And that is for mature people. So if somebody is able to raise dead, it takes priesthood for the person to sustain that grace to continue raising the dead. People like Pastor Chris are living in the level of priesthood, advanced priesthood, because they can repeat any form of healing they've ever had before. If you see people like that, he's dealing with an advanced level of priesthood. because he can. In the dimension of teaching, you know that this is not A plus B. This is a whole campus, advanced campus. A man of teaching dominion for 1 year and still teaching dominion, you think it is wrong? So you see that the believers are just spread anyhow because the people who are raising us are people who are in the middle class. They don't have what it takes to sustain priesthood. Daily alignment. I pray that God will help us. Please, if you are gifted, calm down. Examine yourself. Whether you are in a matured class. You go and read the whole book of 1 Corinthians and see. If 1 Corinthians is above you, then you have not even graduated into the basic class. And in the definition of these people in the book of Romans, Paul said that they are God carnal. And the Bible says to be carnally minded, for your mindset to be carnal is dead. That is why we see no power in the church. Because the average believer's mind is carnally controlled. But in this journey of this series, you'll be liberated from that mindset. I see maturity already taking place. Or you need to call people to come to church. It tells you that they are not even entered the basic school. Let's be realistic. When you were young, you like today, my wife was sharing something with us, and it was fine, but she didn't know it was in line with what I was going to teach. She was telling me that when she was young, the uncle used to carry her to school, and she would cry a lot. And by that, she was given the name Baby Rita. Do you know why Pastor Song has called her Baby Rita? And that name has remained till now because she didn't like school. And I told her, her children will not take after her, they'll take after me. My children will like school. But when you go to class 3, did anybody ask you to go to school? No. If you see a believer struggling to come to church, it's just like Baby Rita. A believer who avoids the spiritual gathering, it tells you the state of that believer. A believer who is dominated by Galatians 6, 5, 19, 20 is still in his milk. And I'm going to serve you the milk. I'll be patient with you. This is what God called us to do. Now, this is a very basic thing. If people who are in nursery living on milk are struggling with milk, how can they survive the concept of priesthood? Now, this brings me to priesthood. Let me look at my time. Oh, God. I'm within time. Because I'm about to end. Because I said that the cause that led to the revisiting of basics was because of what? Priesthood, right? So I'll give you a short peep into priesthood. Little, I agree. Because I believe that some of us are not yet there. Some people are even into it, but some of us are not yet there. We will get there. Don't worry, we will get there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you angry at your pastor? I hope you are following what we are saying. So now let's look at the priesthood concept that led to this whole chapter 6, verse 1. Priesthood. I said the priesthood concept is the day-to-day or administration of what? The covenant. In alignment with the purposes of the kingdom. And Jesus is seated at the right hand side of God, administrating the covenant. And we are in alignment with him. On edge and enforcing it. Now, in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5 gave us a little definition of the functions of the priest. Can we read it? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. And we'll see three key things that was aligned over there. Now, he said, for every high priest, he's talking about just ordinary high priest. Ordinary. So, in the, I told you, he started the comparison from chapter 4, right? About priesthood, and he intercepted in chapter 6, chapter 5 downwards, because he saw that the depth of that course is a higher level of people. So you need to revisit their basics before you continue. Every high priest is a man chosen to represent other people in their dealings with God. He presents their gifts to God and offers sacrifices for their sins. Continue. And he is able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subjected to the same weaknesses. So, the writer of the book of Hebrews gave a brief function of the priesthood. Number one, he said the priesthood is a representation function of the people before God. Now, in the context of representation, the legal it's a legal term which stands for a mediator or a lawyer. Anytime we look into the concept of priesthood, we are looking at the legalities of the kingdom. Now, all of us here, in as much as we are well schooled, don't have much knowledge and details of the laws of Ghana. When you are into any form of contract or anything, you will need the services of a lawyer. And that is what the Old Testament priest used to do. So when the people sin against God, they don't know the procedural ways to atone for their sins because they were not given the privilege to that level of knowledge. It was only privy to the high priest. So the high priest is the one who goes to the mercy seat with the blood of the lamb and represents the interest of the entire nation. Representation, legal matters. So the people need to have understanding of how to relate with the high priest for proper representation. If you have not read the book of Resolving Spiritual Conflicts, you will need it now. When we start the concept of high priest. Number two, he presents their gifts and sacrifices to God. For the sacrifice of a sacrifice or gift before the presence of God, it needs to pass through the high priest. And this is the symbolism of justification. I told you that this course is a heavy course, so you don't get there. So we the ones that present yourself as what? A living what? Holy and not. What makes us holy and acceptable before God? Because we are justified by the high priest, Jesus. So Jesus justifies us and makes us acceptable as sons, as priests, and as kings. So you must know how he administers that redemption to you. So our worship, our giving, our everything is acceptable because there is a high priest who through him, that's why we pray in the name of Jesus. I see the maturity of this course. That's why everything is in his name. Because he is the major of presentation. Number three, the administrative work of the priesthood. Three things he mentioned. Brief function, three. The third one. He knows how to deal with ignorant and wayward people. Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 that we know us not how to pray. By the Spirit himself. Ignorant people are people who know nothing. You see, it takes priesthood to handle those weaknesses of people. If you are left to the justice of God by this and you are dead, because you have been wayward almost all the time. If you are left to God alone, now what Sodom and Gomorrah did, is this so different from what is happening at the nation? And do you know why we are not consumed yet? Because of priesthood. Those have to handle the matter. In our state of ignorance against God, in our state of waywardness, even in the kingdom, the priesthood means to know how to minister what is needed to bring us back to alignment. And it takes maturity to know how to align with this day-to-day administration of Jesus. So if somebody cannot handle milk, just help me handle this. Handle this kind of cost level. That's why you see the believer without power. It's the priesthood that is what we extract power, kingdom, authority. Everything about the child of God is as a result of the administrative work of the priesthood. And that office of Jesus is what we call Christ. The office of that administration where Jesus sits and operates is what we call Christ, which also means Lord. I think I've already switched into priesthood. Let me come back. Therefore, for us to have the full benefit of this function of the priesthood, it is required, therefore, that first of all, we have the skill to distinguish between what's evil and good. And by so doing, we can align with priesthood. And that is the reason why we need the basic doctrines of the faith. Because there are certain things of the kingdom. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said they are mysteries. The mystery of the wisdom of God, they are hidden for you. I can tell you that to everybody's life over here are hidden mysteries that God has hidden for you for your revelation. The devil knows everything, but not the mysteries of God. In the teachings of Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said that one of the mysteries that was unveiled was the death and resurrection of Christ. He said, if the priest of this world had knew that crucifying Jesus would lead to the multiplication of many of you, means that the devil has no access to the secrets of heaven. And the Bible said that these secrets are being given for you, but it requires priesthood. Your elevation is as a result of how you are one of the demons. Therefore, we need to have what it is foundational to priesthood. We can never embrace the full potential of the priesthood of Jesus until we have what it takes to deal with wrong and right.
Mila Kabasa.
It is in the height of this teaching, Brother Apostle Peter, at university, so abandon every form of what, evil and what. Besides, he was still mentioning those mindsets. Remember what is read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Said that those who are in the school of business, the character of them that their mindset is dominantly controlled by the flesh. And in the book of Galatians 5:19-20, you saw that we find the same things. Hypocrisy, feeling of jealousy. Do I need to explain these things to you? But you know them. Don't you know them? Don't you know hypocrisy? You know it, right? Jealousy, you know it. All these things is a sign that you are in the class of basic strength. So we need to push into maturity. In the same way that nursing infants cry out. Look at the comparison. If you have done a little bit, which I recall this one, it's a metaphor. Right? In the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word. The same way you see a baby, 6 weeks, 1 month, 2 weeks, 3 months, crying for the milk of the mother. The Bible says, in our likeness, should we intensely crave for the basic doctrines. For this milk will cause you to grow, to maturity, fully nourished, and also. So the basic doctrines, look at what it provides. Number one, it provides the mechanism of growth into maturity, number one. Can I write that? Number two, it provides the medium of full nourishment. So that the believer does not become consumable.
or have man's flesh. What other deficiency do you have to help you with them? What? Now this is Apollo. This Apollo also part of the deficiency. What are some of the guys' deficiencies you have? Physically, yes. Rickets. Look at all, very, very, yes. You have listened to them. But these are the spiritual somethings and sicknesses in the system. Some believers are also called spiritual food, lack of word. They are bloated by prayer and anointing, but they have nothing away with them. So they are big but empty. The Bible says that if you live on the milk, sincerely desire the milk, Scripture is saying that by so doing, you will what? Be set on the mechanism of growth. And number two, you will be fully of glorious, balanced life. So the balanced life of the believer's growth from basis is what we call the milk doctrine. Strong for life. So if you see the believer who's weak in this world, being tossed to and fro by any form of doctrine, today I was God, tomorrow we will be working in Amenisa. It means that the person has not been nourished, has not lived on the milk. Especially now that you have a taste of the goodness of Yahweh and have experienced His what? His kindness. It's my prayer for you that sincerity of desire will be created in you right now. We can't continue in this life as Christians when we are being examined and we are still found that we have no basis. The believer has now become a tool of mockery and experiment in the hands of the enemy, because the believer is not strong for life. The believer is still an infant that can be lied to and be deceived. The believer is outweighed by the things of this world, because the believer is not fully nourished. But I pray, may your desire not be that you will receive prophecies. May your sincere desire in this kingdom may not be that you want gifts, but that you will desire like a newborn baby. The sincere milk of God, holy Mama Kasa. May God begin to create that sincerity. May God shape our thinking pattern in this kingdom to the desire of the things of God that will provide alignment and stability for us, that we will no more as children of the world be tossed by the wings of these doctrines of the world. Mila kabano osaya. This is the time I'll tell you to start praying. The Lord, open up my desire. Oh Jesus, I rest my desire. Let my press in, let my press in be for the things of this kingdom. As we examine the importance of the repentance of dead works, faith in God, laying of hands, baptisms, as we dig deep into this revelation and into this core content, we will no more become children that the enemy can mess with us. I pray, Molly Asaya, anyone who has already received the subscription of this milk, I pray for you. May you stand at all times. Some of us have been tested and tried by the enemy, but the reason why we are still here and the reason why we are still surviving is because we have been well nourished. We thank God for the life of Apostle Joseph Peter. He had to be a man like him, like by this time, some of us are caught up as charlatans of the kingdom of God, living on our stomach, making merchandise of the anointed and the healing campfire. But to the glory of God, because we have been fed well, we stand here today to also instruct you. It is my prayer that you will grow in the kingdom as we fill you with the milk of this kingdom. May your God be speed that you can be ready for the things of the prison. May God help us. May God help us. May God help us.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. God is working on us. God is working on us. God is working on us. That we will be, we have to grow out of this small, petty analysis. There are more deep things. There are more deep things going on today. There are more deep things in this kingdom. But we can't press deep into the things of the kingdom because we are not graduated from this globalization. The shadow of Peter could wait there and still they were humble. But we are interested. What do you want me to do? We are bound up. How can God open up to mysteries? Paul said, I saw mysteries that cannot be muted. I can't talk about them. How can we press into mysteries? And the life of the believer is the leverage of normal. Because we lack peace. But it shall not be said by others. We shall not be those kind of people that will be denied access to the deep things of God. Thank you, Father.
Just breathe your name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.